There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Question we're asking you this morning is rivalry a good thing or is it a bad thing? Sounds like a really simple question, but if you dig a little deeper, I think we all live with a little bit of rivalry, don't we? Like it or not, competition is basically everywhere. It is part of our DNA. We find it when we call shotgun, if you're getting into a car, don't you? If you call shotgun because you want to get into the car, you want to be in the front seat the first time to make sure you get the last slice of pizza when you're out for dinner with friends. Job seekers equally know the pitfalls of competition. Competition comes through when you work to secure a job interview with your dream company, standing out amongst countless others. It's part of it's part of our daily lives. Rivalries can also exist in our jobs too. In fact, research suggests that competition increases the levels of chemicals like testosterone, which prepares the body and mind. This therefore pushes employees to go that extra mile to achieve their results. On the contrary, over-the-top workplace competition and rivalry can create unhealthy rivalries or even unethical attempts or shortcuts to succeed, which can in fact result in workers resenting one another, producing anxiety and creating conflict. There are certain industries out there that are more inclined to competition than others, certain industries that encourage competition. But I'd like to hear from you. Is rivalry, to your mind, a good thing or a bad thing? Is competition essential within the workplace, or can it be stilting? Can it be something that holds you back and causes problems, whether it be in your current job, whether it be in a role that you've had in years gone by? I'm sort of split on it as well. I suppose we need competition, don't we, Joe? We need competition in order to keep our standards high. What's that old saying that they use? The mimicry or copying is the greatest form of flattery, because that, to a certain degree, is competition. If people come in and do something similar as you, you're seeing that as competition to what you're doing, your role, whatever it may be in whatever industry. And yet that helps you go a little bit further and pull up your socks and try a bit harder.
Now, you see, I look at the BB team and they're all terribly competitive. And I look at myself and I'm not that competitive. I'm not competitive in the workplace. I'm very kind. I don't like conflict. And being competitive doesn't make me work harder or motivate me or incentivize me.
Let's get the thoughts and expert opinions of a special guest here onto the show. We're joined now by the clinical psychologist and managing director at Lighthouse Arabia. Our friend Saliha Afridi joins us live on the line. Good morning to you, Saliha.
Good morning to you, Tom.
Nice to hear from you this morning. Rivalries. I'm not going to push you on cricketing rivalries just yet, but I want to talk to you about workplace rivalries. Is there a place for a workplace rivalry, or do you have to be careful if they become toxic?
I think workplace rivalries usually are a little bit more, you know, they might have a little bit more contempt or negative feelings associated with it because it can involve sharp elbows if you are within the same company. If you are with other companies and you're competing against another business, usually that seems to work out better. You know, there's a famous Stoic, Seneca, who said, "Excellence withers without an adversary." And so I think we need someone to compete against in order to bring our best out at times. But, you know, if it's within the same company, we just really need to manage that we are not stepping on anybody, or we're not taking credit away from anybody. But it usually doesn't work out very well within companies.
We've had a number of people texting in about the sort of the difference between rivalries and competitions. Some people saying that rivalries always exist in jobs. Somebody just texted in saying competition and rivalry are in fact both violent concepts that need to be avoided at all costs. But surely in any industry, in any field, in any job, an element of competition can only be a good thing.
So I think if competition, I mean, I would use, if it's, again, within the same company, I would really, as long as there's group cohesion, a mission that everyone agrees on, a vision that everyone agrees on, and the team feeling, competition within a group is actually not such a bad thing, but it really needs to be a very tight group in order for you to actually bring some of that in. But it's actually a very normal feeling to say, you know, I'm comparing myself to someone else. But competition, actually, that word actually has too much of an edge to it. So comparison is normal. Competition, maybe not, because it can actually bring out some of the worst in people.
For any of those listening in out there with brothers and sisters, having grown up in family environment, they will be well aware of the phrase sibling rivalry, something that's gone into our common lexicon and used daily in our language. Is rivalry in itself necessary for us to grow up and find our characters in life?
No, I think rivalry, I mean, the way we need to be thinking about rivalry, it's a very strong word. This is not just us comparing ourselves to each other. It actually is something quite a strong feeling, and it usually does not have a lot of safety associated with it. So there are siblings who compare themselves to each other, or they will, you know, fight for their parents' attention. But to have rivalry is actually quite a difficult thing for a parent, you know, and it's very obvious that these two people don't like each other. That's how it's used, at least in the sibling realm, that these two are against each other. They are not for each other. They do not belong to each other, but they see each other as the out group.
What about personalities as well? Is it down to individual personalities? Are some people, are they wired better in terms of dealing with rivalry? Can a personality dictate how sensitive we are to rivalries and competition?
I think there's a lot of things that go into rivalry. And if we're talking about just companies and families, there's a lot of different things that can go into it. Yeah, I'm sure personality has something to do with everything, but it's also about how the parents or the leadership of the company position each other. And are they, you know, maybe favoring one team or one person or one child above the other? Or are they able to see the positives in everybody and really bring out the best in everybody? If a parent or a leadership actually position the two kids or the two, you know, individuals against each other, for example, you know, parents have a really wonderful habit of saying, well, your brother doesn't do that when he's angry. Or, you know, a boss might say, well, you know, the way John handled that situation was way better than the way you handled it. When you start to talk like that, that can actually create a lot of negative feelings. But if we can just look at each at people for what they are and bring the best out in them, then you are going to, you know, be able to bring out the best in people. But pitting people against each other is probably not the best way. And personality has a little bit to do with it, but I would put more of an onus on the parents and the leadership.
I'm going to pit the genders against each other now, sorry, with this one. But I'm wondering whether, if you're looking at it from a male and female perspective, is one of the genders better at dealing with rivalries in the workplace or otherwise? Is there any research to back up either of those?
You know, I don't know of the research when it comes to gender, but I know about just masculine and feminine energy. And there are women who actually have quite a lot of alpha energy and men vice versa. But I think if you have a lot of masculine energy in you, you are going to be a lot more achievement oriented. You're going to be a lot more goal oriented. You're going to actually have a lot of that, you know, sort of I'm on a mission kind of energy. Whereas the feminine energy is quite relational. It's quite cooperative. And so if I were just to make a guess, I would say that the masculine energy people tend to be a lot more driven by competition, or they might be more susceptible to this kind of emotion.
Somebody's just texted in a minute ago saying rivalries in the workplace. We can't control other people's bad behavior. We can only control our own reaction to that behavior. Is that something that you go along with?
Of course, that goes for anything and everything. But again, I would say that we all have something to do with the energy that we bring into the team. And I think if we focus more, not this is not just about me, at least in the workplace, me being, you know, a good person within me, but actually being able to influence others into a energy of cooperation and collegiality and things of that sort. So I do think we have a responsibility to the group as well as to ourselves.
And just finally, Saliha, before we let you go, I mean, obviously, one of the reasons we're having this conversation is because of the India-Pakistan rivalry, which will be borne out on a cricket field not a million miles from us later on this afternoon. Is it a good idea just to keep things in context? We've had both representatives of both teams and fans on the show this morning, and it all seems to be very good-natured rivalry. Is that something to keep in mind, the fact that rivalries can escalate into very dangerous situations, but the end of it, good-mannered and good-natured rivalries are what we all strive for?
Absolutely. You know, in the end, we're all psychologically wired quite tribally. We want to belong to a group. We want to belong to, a certain feeling and that comes with being in a group. And so I think that's very important for us to know. And sports usually is a very safe way for us to belong to a group and then have an out group as well. So while I might be rooting for one team, there's an out group that's actually rooting for another, and actually can create a very safe environment to have those kinds of range of emotions. There's a lot of energy that rivalry, especially sports rivalry, which is a whole separate field, I would say, than to, like, you know, company rivalries. But sports rivalry actually create the full range of emotions. They actually create a lot of energy. The coaches, the industries actually will feed a lot of that rivalry. It actually comes within, like, the geographic, you know, there needs to be a lot of similarities between those two teams. So I think it's actually a really great way to experience, you know, joy and sadness and disappointment and all these other feelings. And I think it's a human need that we are fulfilling. But yeah, it can actually move into fighting and rioting. And we really need to make sure that we don't get caught up in it, because it can actually create a lot of resentment and hostility, envy, if we're not looking at this in what it is and just getting a step out and saying this is sports and it's actually good for our two countries.
Good point. Well made. Final question for me. Not putting you on the spot at all, but you mentioned it a little bit earlier. Which team are you rooting for?
Oh, God. You know, I have to say Pakistan because I am from Pakistan. So I'm going to go with that. But you know what? May the best team win.
Look there, ever the diplomat. Well, thank you so much indeed, Saliha. Thanks so much indeed for joining us live on the line. Looking forward to welcoming you into the studio soon. Thank you for your time this morning.
Take care, Tom.
Talking rivalries here on the show with good reason as well. One very historical rivalry about to be born out on a cricket field not a million miles from here. But with rivalries in general, Fatima says this, it could be both good and bad. Good and actually needed when it is pushing you to give the best of you, when it gives you the energy to learn more and work harder, but bad when it goes over the limit and might lead some of us to forget manners and good ethics and think only about ourselves. Thank you very much indeed, Fatima, for those. A lot of other people have been texting in with their ideas and definitions of rivalry. No surprise that a lot of them are sports orientated as well. What is the greatest sporting rivalry? England against Wales, rugby union, one of the suggestions there. The Williams sisters against anyone else, says Dennis out there. Dennis from the World of Tennis reporting on that one. This one came through from Prakash. Prakash says, Ferrari against McLaren in the world of F1. A number of suggestions for Spurs against Arsenal. Been a few calls for the Ashes, but is it really a rivalry? If you look at the history, there is one team that has really bossed that series in years gone by. No doubting, though, that India against Pakistan, when it comes to cricket, since the very since the beginning that these two teams have been playing, has been deemed and been recognised as one of the great sporting rivalries of all time. Whether it is the greatest remains to be seen, but it will be played out here in the UAE in just the next couple of hours. One man who is going to be watching on with interest, formerly with Lancashire County Cricket Club, where he was one of the leading lights of the batting lineup down there, has turned his attention to coaching in recent years and has been made the head of cricket development at the ICC Academy right here in Dubai in the last couple of years. Kasim Ali joins us live on the line. Kas, good to have you on board this afternoon.
How are you, mate? You well? Thanks for having me.
Well, not at all. Thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy, busy day for you. I just wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, you're down there at the ICC Cricket Academy. It's in the heart of Dubai Sports City. It has been pulling up roots recently, developing cricket talent here in the region. You're not a million miles away. You are. You're a good arm's throw away from the Dubai International Cricket Stadium. What's the atmosphere like down in and around Sports City this afternoon?
Yeah, we're only a couple of yards away from the actual stadium, Dubai Sports City, and it's going to be electric today. People are already starting to queue up in terms of getting the tickets and getting ready for the start of play. Today is going to be a very challenging day in many respects. Obviously, a lot of passionate cricket fans from the very first time this rivalry obviously started to take place. And you mentioned that between the two nations, one of the biggest rivalries in cricket and in sport. Obviously, you can go back as far as 1947 when the first conflict the divide happened, and that's where it probably all stems from. And there's a lot of passionate listeners out there who probably have ancestors who can experience that sort of time and what happened in between that time. But now, in and around here, obviously, the Cricket Academy has got a lot of people from India and Pakistan. A lot of my cricketers resonate from them backgrounds. And it's great to see, the camaraderie that's going on in the coaching programs at the moment, and who's going to win, who's going to take whose wicket, who's going to have the upper hand, who's going to have the winning moment. And for me and my coaches, it's probably one of the interesting things because we can sort of play off that in terms of getting our learning objectives across.
You've played cricket at the top level, Kaz, over in the UK and other parts of the world from a variety of different tours as well. From a cricketing perspective, I know Lancashire, Yorkshire is big, my friend, and I know that the Ashes could be deemed to be big. But does anything come close to India, Pakistan?
Probably Lancashire and Yorkshire, the roses rivalry. No, on a serious note, India, Pakistan for me is probably one of the biggest rivalries. You probably got, obviously, a lot of people say the Manchester derbies, the football derbies are there and the London derbies and what have you, and probably, the football Spanish Barcelona rivalry is probably there. But from a cricket point of view, obviously you've got the Ashes, which is going to be up there as well. But passionate cricketers in and around the subcontinent is probably got to be the biggest rivalry in not just in cricket, but everything. In everything that people do, whether it's profession, whether it's, the industry, whether it's military, whatever it is. There's a lot of rivalry between, England, Pakistan and India.
But you're an ECB Level 4 Master Coach. You are the Head of Cricket Development at the ICC Academy. You are seeing the fruits of your labour in recent years with some great talent coming through your different programmes down there at the Academy. Is rivalry, the emotion of rivalry, something that you encourage in young cricketers? Is it something that's been encouraged into you as a player during your playing days?
No, it wasn't. We always knew who the opposition were, and we always knew that they're what their strengths were and what they brought to the the game and the system. But there was never, I'm going to go out, and beat these guys because they're from the opposite end of town or they've got the best manager and stuff like that. For me personally, that was never the case. But I have come across other people where, I've been involved in a local derby and it can get quite heated and the fans can get quite anticipated in terms of what's going to happen and they can build up the actual event itself. And it's great for players because you've got an arena, you've got atmosphere there. But for me, I think you've got to dive deep down into the competition of the element of what's actually on task. But the actual environment in itself, if you've got some good fans who can build up that rivalry, who can talk about the competition level between the two, I think that's ultimately what it's about. And it's just the added notion of trying to get the two fans, you know, competing against each other, because that ultimately creates the atmosphere. But deep down, it's about the skill. It's about beating one person over the other.
We are almost set for the big game. There's been a lot of talk about it. There has been a lot of shouting here in the studio about it from our colleagues at City, amongst others. We've had Pakistani fans on the line over the last couple of hours as well. So I need the level head of Kasim Ali now, you know, the cricketing brain, to put all those sort of ideas to one side. Who's going to come out on top of this game, which will, of course, be the first of two games between these two nations over the next couple of days?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I was at the stadium yesterday to watch the India game, and I was pleasantly surprised in terms of India's approach. Look, between me and you and probably the listeners, I wouldn't sit on the fence on this. I'd probably say Pakistan have looked the sharpest. The preparations have been extensively good in terms of what they've done at the academy here, and they've played some good cricket when they've competed, obviously, against the Hong Kong. They've played better compared to India against the Hong Kong opposition, who have done fantastically well, by the way, and they've really showed yesterday what associate cricket members are all about, so credit to them. But between the two, I think it comes down to individual brilliance on the day. It comes down to a little bit of luck and the guys who can handle the pressure. India have got some experienced players. Obviously, they're going to miss out on Kohli. But I think Pakistan now have also got some experienced players who can handle the big moments. Babar Azam, I think, is going to be key for Pakistan. And basically, for me, is which team holds the nerve and the pressure in such a big, packed environment, and can obviously, you know, produce the goods. So that for me is going to be the key task, and I think they're going to be the winning moments. They're going to be the one percenters from a cricketing point of view. Who is going to win this game tomorrow?
Very diplomatic, Kasim Ali. Well done to you. Keeping both your Indian and your Pakistani coaches very, very happy with that answer. Good on you, fella. Enjoy the game, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the Asia Cup down there at the centre. And of course, congratulations again for all the achievements at the ICC Academy.
Brilliant. Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me. Cheers,
Kasim Ali there joining us live on the line. It's a great place to get down and be part of the atmosphere. And if you're looking for somewhere to learn the art of cricket for whatever age group, boys and girls, ICC Academy, doors are always open. You can find out details online, but they are always welcoming for you to come on down and see what it's all about. And who knows, round about this time, you might even bump into the odd famous cricketer. We've had some really good comments come through on a variety of subjects. I'm just going to start off with one that we've been doing more recently, which is rivalry. How do you deal with a rivalry within the workplace? I like this one that came through from Nelly saying, I sit beside a guy who is a good friend of mine, actually, and our desks are separated by one of those movable dividers. Since I moved beside him 2 weeks ago, I've been moving the divider 1 centimetre towards him each day. We're at 13 centimetres now, and he still hasn't noticed. I think I'm going to have to shift his computer monitors soon so that will be interesting. Thank you very much indeed. That's one way of dealing with it. Joe, what else have you got?
This is an anonymous message. I had to work with a rival in my first real proper job. He undermined the work I did. He took credit for the work I did. And I think ultimately he was the reason I left the position. Looking back, I wish I had spoken to my superior about it and highlighted it to them. I still feel that my so-called rival got better than me rather than the best out of me.
This came through from another of our listeners. Again, no name with it, but much appreciated, saying, I think we all expect women to help support our advancement, but the reality is that insecurities, along with the competitive nature of any workplace, set the stage for female rivalry. We can't control other people's bad behaviour. We must realise that toxic people rob us of our power, and we can't let that happen. Focusing on the things we can control to protect our reputation and always remain positive and productive will, I think, help us stay on track. That's much appreciated. Also had another one that came through from Mudrika this morning, saying, from my personal set of experiences, I don't think having rivals is a good thing, because at the end, you may find yourself alone. Patience, stability, understanding these words are really hard to maintain, but once we go through these key in life, we will be able to communicate well and make more friends and less of rivals. It really does depend on you. Thank you for that one. Sure.
Now, earlier on in the show, we were talking about women taking time off work to go to school and attend their children's activities. And there is a message here from somebody who has called herself overworked and underpaid in Jumeirah. And she said, it's called more emotional labour for mums. Dads should be given time off work and feel the pressure of managing your work and family diary, i.e. attending school events, etc.
One that came through on that very same subject was from Pando a little earlier on, saying flexible working days mean you choose your working hours to suit you. There may not be any scheduled days, but you need to work total number of hours you're required to work in a week. Most jobs involve everyone working fixed hours like the traditional 9 till 5. A flexible working day sometimes mean you can start late, something like 10 in the morning instead of 9, finish an hour later. Most places have different arrangements for flexible working days. And this one from Richard saying flexible working is any change in working pattern from the employee's normal working hours or days. It can include, amongst other things, part-time work, reduced hours, later or earlier start or finish times, compressed hours or annualized hours as well.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.